Football Friday, Cleveland Browns Daily, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Going to be joined by our regular third guy in this show, this lineup, is Gerard Cherry a little bit later this hour. But we are very happy to bring aboard with us right now Browns beat reporter, veteran writer, Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. You know, Scott, in this business, and I did the beat thing, I've done the beat thing for a long time, but did it in the newspaper business for a number of decades. I know this much. You have routines in this business, right? The calendar... the weekly calendar leading up to a game, you know, you're dealing with Monday, you're still looking back, you're doing this Tuesday, more analysis. Wednesday, you're supposed to start looking ahead to the next game. You got your rosters, you got your breakdown, your depth charts, your scouting reports, you're making calls, you're talking to people, you've interviewed people from the opposing team on the conference call, and you're moving on, and there's a progression, there's a rhyme and a reason. This week had nothing like that. This week blew up on us the moment that Trent Richardson trade was announced on Wednesday, and from that point on, you had said it before we went on the air here. I was laughing because you said, "Hey, you know, I'm just getting to like looking at this Minnesota team right now, and that's what I'm doing too."
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, I'm looking forward to the plane ride so I can check out the Minnesota roster because I'm not familiar enough with it right now. But it's been a nutty week. You know, I was getting ready to leave Wednesday. I'd written my quarterback story. You know, it was a big enough story.
Yeah, I thought, right? We thought we had the story of the day right there.
Looked down at my phone. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" It took me minutes to like realize that it was true, you know, to, oh my gosh, okay, now what? Because I think it blindsided everybody.
All right, blindsided, surprise, came out of nowhere, out of the blue. As you sit here now, or as you sat here Wednesday, is this a crazy move? Is this a move? Where do you come down on the wisdom of making this trade?
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy. I come to the terms that I thought Trent Richardson was not an elite back. You know, I know he's only played 17 games, but that should be enough for a running back. I rewatched the tape of the Ravens game, and I thought he put his foot in the ground and didn't have the explosion that you need. And I think we saw that when his long run is 9 yards Sunday, and the week before it was 10 yards. So I don't think he's an elite back, which means if you can get a first-round pick back for him, I think that's a fine trade. Now, having said that, the timing of it just sticks me as a little bit tough to handle because it's week two. Sure. And it's definitely a signal that, you know, 2013 isn't as important as 2014. Tough message to send to your fans. Tough message to send to your locker room. I get it, and I think it's probably the wise move long term. I'm just kind of conflicted by the timing of it.
And that's the issue, and I think a lot of people certainly have been hitting us up on Twitter about that, what it means for 2013, and whether, and they, many of them acknowledge that, yes, I get it on paper, makes sense for the long term. And so a lot of people want to know is, what is there to be excited about still for 2013? So who are some of the people you're looking at and some of the things? Because I don't think it's going to come down to winning 8 of the last 14 games to be excited about.
No, I hear you. You know, I am curious to see how Brian Hoyer plays. You know, St. Ignatius grad like myself, I want to see how he plays. There's a chance that, you know, he catches lightning in the bottle and shows something. And, you know, Joe Banner said it on Mike and Mike this morning that our best case scenario is we find a quarterback in house. Nobody believes that is possible, but that he still says that that would be the best case scenario. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. I would like to see Brandon Whedon play more. I think it's different quarterback versus running back. And I know Brandon Whedon hasn't shown signs that he's going to be the long-term answer, but I'd like to see him. I think he has a chance to be better than a lot of people think he has. So I'd like to see him play some more. And then there's a lot of the young guys, Josh Gordon. We haven't seen him yet. 14 games. Can he establish himself as maybe not a number one, but a guy that deserves to be on this team, stays on the straight and narrow for 14 weeks and is going to be a foundation, a building block for this team. Greg Little, can he rebound from the drops? I mean, those are the kind of guys I'm looking for. Can anybody in the secondary besides Joe Hayden look like he belongs next year?
You know, if you connect the dots or at least look at the pattern and see if there's a pattern of consistency within this organization, how it thinks and does things, here's where I'm seeing it with regard to the quarterback position. The fact that there is no commitment to Brandon Whedon coming back to play, even healthy, is along the same lines of thinking that sent Trent Richardson to Indianapolis the other day. There is no sacred. I mean, those are usually the sacred positions. Starting quarterback, first rounder, brought in a year ago. Starting running back, franchise running back, starter, brought in a year ago. And one's gone, and the other one is effectively in limbo. And by all indications, his thumb is going to be well enough for him to play next week. That's what we're hearing. That's what we're seeing. And I'm with you. I would love to see more. I'm curious to see just him play. Can he play his way out of the way the season began? But right now, the stage truly does belong to Brian Hoyer, not as just a fill-in stopgap, put some duct tape on the position. It is, what can he do? And if he does it well enough, then he may it may be a while. Do you see Whedon again? There's a potential that we don't see him back at quarterback for the Browns. I don't know that I'm expecting that, but that's on the table right now.
There is, and I think that might have been the case from the get-go. Once he started 0-2, there's a point we want to see Brian Hoyer. Now, the thumb quickens the pace. I think it's surprising that Chud's, you know, has stuck to not going back to Whedon. But the reality is when you get to this point, and it's sad to say that 0-2 is this point, but you want to see what you have. He's an unknown commodity, so you want to see what Brian Hoyer can do. And I don't know if it's over two games, over four games, what that period of time is before you make a conclusive decision on him. But it's obviously that guys in the building want to see him. And that makes sense. It's just it's a little different perspective from the NFL. You know, you kind of see that in baseball and guys get called up in September. Or, you know, you see the NBA trades. Right. And, you know, I mean, people talk about playing for that one or two guys in the NBA draft. And the NFL draft has always been just different. You know, you can get guys throughout the draft, and you don't have to be in the top two necessarily to get that guy you want. So it's just a different mentality, and I think that's what some of the fans are struggling with.
Yeah, and some of the fans are struggling with the comments made by Mike Holmgren, and you got to hear some of those coming out of the break. And I wonder if part of that is because basically what this regime has said is your draft last year was, I mean, we're not just bad. It was all-time epic bad, and we're doing everything we can to undo the damage you did this franchise. We're not even saying your first-round quarterback from a year ago can come back and be the starting quarterback on this team. We just traded the number three overall pick a year ago for a first-rounder next year, which will has zero chance of being a number three overall pick. And I think there's a little bit of sour grapes there from Holmgren.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I think Joe Banner again on Mike, and Mike said, you know, Mike Holmgren had 3 years to do what he wanted. Now it's our turn to do what we believe is right. And they're completely opposite. You know, so I think Mike Holmgren is standing by his decision to trade three picks to move up one spot, which was criticized at the time, and then looks even worse now that you would trade the pick 18 games in. You know, we talked about it a little bit. I don't think it was fair for, you know, Mike to challenge Chud, that Chud should have gone in and quit or stood up for it. You know, Mike Holmgren he wouldn't have done that when he was a first-year head coach. You know, after he won a Super Bowl, maybe, and then he left for Seattle, it's a different position you're in. Right. Chud's a first-year coach. He's a long, you know, he's bought into this plan. When he got asked about Holmgren, said, you know, I love the fans, I love this team, I love Cleveland, and I agree with the plan. So I think Chud handled it well. He's just in a tough spot, like, you know, like a lot of the guys in this locker room. You're 0-2, and you can feel the ground underneath you not be steady. So, but yet you got to go to Minnesota on Sunday and play a game.
Scott Patrack from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram covers the Browns. Joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So they got to go play a game, and we had Bernie Kosar on earlier, and Bernie's pretty consistent, too, with the idea that nonsense of distraction, whatever it might be, holidays or trades that happen a few days, big trades that happen a few days before the game, should not get in the way of anyone's thinking, because this is football. And Rob Chudzinski, you know, talking with him this week, too, that's kind of the way he's looking at it, too. I don't think there's this warm, fuzzy, hey, guys, you know, patting them on the back. You got to just get over this and get ready to play a game. They're preparing to play a game, and it's a critical. This is still an 0-2 team looking to do something that doesn't seem like the season is going away. As much as people say, well, they're writing off the season, but people are going to be tuning in on Sunday to see exactly what that might look like on the field. How does it look, and how competitive? And you've been in this locker room all week. What is the vibe you get?
You know, it's not as bad as I think some people would think it is. You talk to the veteran guys like Joe Thomas and DeQuell Jackson, and Joe Thomas said, you know, any one of us could be traded. He goes, that's just the reality of the NFL. And I said, Joe, you can't be traded. He goes, I don't know. He goes, you wouldn't think so, but he goes, really, I don't know any one of us could be. You know, DeQuell said, we're, you know, bring our hard hats to work, and we got to play, and our focus is on Minnesota. So they're saying the right things. And I do think what matters is Brian Hoyer's going to quarterback, and he – probably couldn't care less about the Trent Richardson trade, because he's getting his second start in the NFL, first for his hometown team, and first where he's really got a chance to say, you know what, I can be that guy. So it's not going to affect him. It's not going to affect Willis McGahee or Chris Obenai or Bobby Rainey, any of those guys playing at running back. And it shouldn't really affect any of those young guys who have stuff to prove. I mean, the fact is there's not a lot of secure jobs on this team, and these guys have to play for it. Not to mention, Chud's looking for that first NFL win, and we know how important that is to him. So he's got his focus as laser sharp as ever, and he's trying to get that from his team. And for whatever it means, he said they had a great working practice.
One of the things that I'm excited to see going forward is the continuation of this defense, which I thought has played very, very well in each of the first two games. Did a good job against the Miami team in week number one running the football, and Miami did much better against Indianapolis in week two. Shut down Ray Rice, and really Bernard Pierce, I guess he got the touchdown in there, but had to work very hard for every one of those yards. So I'm excited to see this matchup between the Browns' run defense and Adrian Peterson this weekend.
Yeah, that should be great. I'll tell you, the run defense has looked really solid, and that's been a problem for the Browns since they've been back. But there's not a bigger challenge than this week. I mean, first of all, it's Adrian Peterson, but he's coming off two, for him, average weeks. He said he did some soul searching after week two. It's their home opener. He's going to be fast on that turf. It's just a tough matchup. And if the Browns come out of this and keep Adrian Peterson, under 100 yards, then I think you can really say they've solved the run defense, because that's two good tests in a row. Ray Rice, who they shut down, and then if they could hold Adrian Peterson. So I am looking forward to seeing that matchup.
I think they can. I really think they can keep him to, all right, let's use the AP standard, which is anything at 100 or not much above 100, maybe slightly below 100, is a good day.
Sure.
And that they can, as a defense, handle that. And the guy who really gets me the most fired up about this defense is Desmond Bryant. Mm-hmm. I see him as just being sometimes a man among children when he's out there. He's just so dominant, so physical, and it's so effortless the way he's doing things. He locks people up and takes them out of the play, the blockers, and does so in a physical fashion, and then is able to, I think, get off the ball. When you see a man carrying 310 pounds and he doesn't even look it. I mean, he's obviously he's tall,
he's a big
and he's
dude.
Big and chiseled, but it's chiseled.
Right.
It's not loose
sloppy.
Three. Yeah, it's not a sloppy three plus. And he gets around, and I think also the most understated guy. He doesn't say much. He keeps it pretty quiet. He's a bright player, so he brings that Harvard intelligence to the table, as well as the physical skills that he has. And the way he's utilized, the way he complements those linebackers. So, Nathan, you bring up, what's exciting about going forward? Well, it's this defense in general.
Mm-hmm. We haven't even seen Ruben yet.
It's that player in particular. We haven't even seen what Ataba Ruben complementing the rest of these guys could mean.
No, I'm with you. And I've been impressed with Desmond Bryant. I was a little concerned coming out of the preseason because he didn't play that much. He had the back spasms. Anytime you mention the back, you get worried. But he's been outstanding for the first two games. I think the key to stopping Peterson from having a huge day is there's going to be tackles that need to be made in the secondary. And if you make them, it's an 8 or 10-yard gain. If you miss them, it's 70. And that's where a game swings. And then the offense has to keep them in the game, because if you're down by 10 points, Peterson's going to get the ball all fourth quarter, and then he's going to rack up those yards. So you need to stay close, and you need to make a couple timely tackles.
Can't turn it over.
What are your expectations for Josh Gordon here in his first action now? Obviously, he and Whedon looked pretty good, but in that last preseason game, two catches for 77 yards from Brian Hoyer. Granted, one of those probably should have been a 60-yard touchdown, but it seemed that they had good chemistry. And one of the things that Vic and I have been talking about all week is that Hoyer does seem to have an ability to hit receivers in stride so that they can make plays after the catch.
Yeah, I like what I heard from Josh when he talked to us. I think it was Monday. Seemed like he had his head square. The 2 weeks, we talk about the suspension, but he was allowed to be around the team. He wasn't allowed to practice, but he could go to meetings and be around the team and work out. And that's a change in NFL rules. And he said it really is. And he said it really benefited him because he didn't lose touch and he didn't lose focus. I think he has a chance to have a big game. I think Hoyer's going to look for him as much as he can because he's obviously the best receiver on this team. And we noticed that more than we knew before. From the first two games.
Yep.
I would, however, have liked to seen Brandon Whedon get that shot with Josh Gordon and vice versa, because I think you can do more. I think the big arm and the deep throwing ability gives Gordon a chance to not, right now you can see him run those crossing routes, but I'd like to see him stretch the field vertically. And I'm not sure Brian can do that the way Brandon can.
Good stuff, Scott, and we will see you in Minnesota.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Right,
thanks,
he is Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. Check out his great work on their website covering the Browns. Check out his tweets as well on Twitter. He always got something interesting to say about this football team. We've got much more coming up on this Football Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to have Gerard Cherry with us in a little bit. And your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and tweets at Browns_daily. Much more ahead. Maybe he'll be a